You're all welcome to this meeting. The only difference is that the only participants here will be the members and the department and the entities, and all of us will just be observers. And at that time, I think we'll write to the newspaper, some do that, some write to the committee, some write to the department if there any issue they want to raise. And overall, we have sometimes public participation whereby intergroups are invited to put forth their views, and always the people mustn't write dissertations and thesis, but just a summary, detailed summary, because there are so many people that we need to interact with as far as submissions are concerned. And today, the department and the relevant entity is going to present to us issues on the cost to communicate. It has been our concern over many years, and still the concern even today. We think there's going to be an indication of some progress made in all the issues that were raised concerning the charges on the data. We know that almost everyone is online these days. Young people looking for work, applying for at institutions of learning, higher education most of the time. We also have SMEs who are in the industry, ICT industry, and we're going to get the presentation as well as to how the department intends to develop them, give them the necessary support. And we hope by 2030 we shall have achieved 90% of the NDP. We have done introduction, but it was only for the chairperson. Maybe we should get to other apologies. Will you please assist us, Secretary?
Good morning. We only have the one apology for Mr. Mashango, the chairperson, and then just an announcement that the minister and the deputy minister is on his way.
And for the department, that's all for the minister and the deputy minister. With those few words, let me hand over to DG with the open remarks, then followed by the presentation. DG, over to you. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. And once again, thanks for inviting the department to come and present on two very important issues in our daily activities, in our calendar. The first being the cost to communicate, and the second one being the ICT SME development strategy implementation. Honorable members will remember that last year we presented the strategy. Now what we're presenting today is the plan of realizing what we said and committed to do in the strategy. Now we'll just ask the team here to quickly introduce themselves. My name is Robert Nkuna. I'm the Director General.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Mametse Masemola. I'm the Acting DDG for ICT Policy Development.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Tolifelo Mogesi, and I'm responsible for ICT SME Strategy.
Good morning, Members. My name is Nokuzola Aaron. I'm the Council Chairperson for the ICT BEED and also the Sister Board Member.
Okay, officially that is the delegation and chairperson. So we can start with the presentation. Okay, the first presentation will be led by Mametse Masemola, the Acting DDG Policy. That is on the course to communicate.
Sorry, you will come in, Deputy Minister. We just come at a time when we are saying the DG should make open remarks, but of the protocol, with your permission, can they continue? Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll continue checking
on the screen. Okay. Maybe as we are busy trying to fix the screen and stuff, we can also get introductions from other people who are here. We know we have business here, mobile operators, we have other interest groups from the NGOs. Okay. shall we?
And we're not related.
Okay. We're not sure.
Proceed based on the hard copies while they are coming out.
Okay, okay.
Chair, we'll start on the slide number 3, which talks to the organizational mandate of the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. And in terms of the presidential proclamation of July 2014, as well as the government gazette dated 2nd of December 2014, the key focus areas for the DTPS is to modernize the economy and economic infrastructure. And we'll do that through the rollout of ICT infrastructure, applications and services. We'll also do that through the rollout of postal banking, of postal and banking services, as well as the development of e-strategies to roll out e-government, e-sectoral services. At the same time, we're also mandated to promote cybersecurity and the security of networks. Now, the cost to communicate program, as it is, the program to reduce cost to communicate, it's derived from the context now for the mandate for ICT facilitated development of South Africa, it derives from one, the declarations in the 1955 Freedom Charter around issues of equal rights and opportunities for all South Africans. It also derives from the constitution, as well as the issues that are articulated in the National Development Plan, as well as our own National Integrated ICT Policy White Paper. And in terms of the NDP, the 2030 vision, as it relates to ICTs, is that we will be able to achieve inclusive economic growth in South Africa when we address issues of ICTs, ensuring that there is access to communications technologies, in particular broadband, the services and content carried in ICT networks, and it's an important means of promoting growth. The government's medium-term strategic framework itself talks to the issues that and it identifies issues of high domestic cost of broadband and internet connectivity as a major hindrance to socio-economic development in the country. Our own SA Connect policy, which is the national broadband policy, talks about one of the primary factors that are hampering the country's competitiveness is the high prices charged for communication services. Our target in terms of that policy is that 5% of disposable income by South Africans should be channeled towards acquiring ICT services or communication services. And at the moment, that percentage is still quite high in terms of the research that we are aware of. From our side as the department, Honorable Chairperson and members, there are two issues that we are addressing in terms of the National Integrated ICT Policy White Paper. One is the issues around supply side interventions, as they are articulated in Chapter 9 of the National Integrated ICT Policy White Paper. There's also the demand side aspects of the interventions as identified in the white paper, and we'll go through these in the later slides. But if you look at the white paper, we say in there that the high concentration of the broadband market, as well as the vertically integrated companies. They result in several problems, and one of those problems that has been identified is the high cost of to communicate, the issues around accessibility of ICTs, as well as the transformation of ownership in that broadband market. And but the key thing here, as it relates to today's presentation, is around the high cost to communicate. So on the demand side measures, we've got the ICT SMME development strategy. We also have the National E-Strategy and Roadmap and the National E-Strategy. All of these strategies are geared towards increasing ICT uptake by individuals, by households, and by business as well as government. So we will talk to those in the later slide. But on the cost to communicate itself, the program, You'll remember, honourable members and the honourable chairperson, that the minister issued two policy directions in the last 3 years. One was the policy direction on price transparency, which was issued by the minister in September 2014, and the other was the policy direction on effective competition in broadband markets, which the minister issued to ICASA in March 2016. What has ICASA done so far in terms of implementing those policy directions? One, there is an ongoing work by ICASA, they call the program of implementing the policy direction on effective markets, effective competition in broadband markets is the ICASA's priority market study. There's also, in terms of implementing the policy direction on policy transparency, ICASA has amended the end user and subscriber charter regulations. These are in the process of being amended, and we'll talk to the status of those regulations in the next slide. Suffice to say that there's also work that's been undertaken by the Competition Commission, and they're probing the high cost of data in the country. And there is work that's now being churned out by ICASA in terms of the annual publication of South Africa's ICT sector performance. And in there you'll see the dimensions that's been measured by ICASA is, for instance, the revenue that's derived from mobile data, revenue that's derived from airtime and so on and so forth. So we'll talk to those in the next few slides. Now, in terms of the priority market study and this is the work that's been implemented by ICASA following from the Minister's Policy Direction on Effective Competition in Broadband Markets. The information that we've received from ICASA is that the submissions from stakeholders have been received, and the due date was 10 October 2017. That work has been analyzed and is being completed by ICASA. By 31st March 2018, the end of this month, ICASA will release the discussion document, which indicates the list of markets that are prone to ex-ante regulation. And the discussion document itself will also contain the key recommendations. So there is an expectation that by the end of this month, we will be receiving, or ICASA will be issuing that discussion document. What then means, and in terms of the release of that document, it will be released for public consultation, and they may or may not call for public hearings. However, we are informed that by June 2018, they will issue a findings document which will be released, and that findings document will actually now indicate the list of markets that are prone to ex-ante regulation and a list of priority markets that will be subjected to a market review process, which is prescribed by in Section 67(4). Of the Electronic Communications Amendment, Electronic Communications Act. In terms of the end user and subscriber charter regulations, that's slide number 10. This is the work that ICASA is doing to actually implement the price transparency policy direction of issued to ICASA by the minister. there's been a lot of discussion around the disappearance of data that people buy at time they buy data and they don't know what happens to it. It seems like it's just going into a black hole. Now, there's been work that's been undertaken by ICASA in terms of these regulations that was issued previously, and they're seeking to amend these regulations. Key to it is that, one, the timelines that are prescribed by MNOs in terms of the data or the airtime, the set intervals in terms of how long you'll have the data and airtime, that's going to be increased. For instance, if your data was only for a month, they will increase it to like 3 months or to 6 months and even to a year. And most importantly, consumer education in terms of regulation 8C, the MNOs will be compelled to actually undertake consumer education and awareness, at least 4 of those educational awareness campaigns per annum, as part of driving empowerment of consumers to know what is really happening in terms of when they buy data, in terms of the prices that are being charged, and so on and so forth. So that's part of the new insertions in terms of this regulation. The public hearings were held on the 1st and 2nd of March 2018, and ICASA has indicated that the final regulations are going to be published by the end of March 2018. So there is also an expectation that by the end of this month, those final end user and subscriber service charter regulations are going to be published by ICASA, and those will be finalized because they've been based on the various stakeholder interaction by ICASA. There's also important work that's been undertaken to reduce the cost to communicate from a voice point of view, and that is the review of the call termination market review that ICASA has undertaken. And in terms of this process, the review has been finalized and the following findings have been made. The first one is that the 2014 definitions of mobile termination market and fixed termination market remain unchanged, with the exception of the exclusion of termination of internationally originated voice calls. The second issue is that competition in the relevant markets still remain ineffective, and this is the finding of ICASA itself, and that the 4 market failures that have been identified in 2014 may exist in the absence of regulation, and that the pro-competitive conditions imposed on licenses in 2014 are still relevant. In that regard, ICASA is extending the glide path as set out in the 2014 call termination regulations by 12 months to September 2018, as requested by licensees, owing to the limited time to determine new termination rates. So that glide path will still be in force up until the September 2018, September this year. There's also work that's been undertaken by the Competition Commission, and this we did indicate in our presentation last year in October when we came to the Portfolio Committee. And that inquiry is undertaken in terms of the provisions of the Competition Act of 1998 as amended. The purpose is really in the main to understand factors of the markets and the value chain that may cause or lead to high prices of data for data services. The Competition Commission's call for submissions was released on 20 September 2017. There's been information that's been received from by the Competition Commission, and they are now currently undertaking stakeholder analysis of that information as received. We're informed by the Commission that it intends to release the interim report in this regard in April 2018, and the final report is going to be released in August 2018. The April 2018 report is going to be published for consultation with the public and interested stakeholders. And then following that process, by the end of August 2018, a final report with recommendations is going to be made by the Competition Commission. The department, as it is working very closely with both ICASA and the Competition Commission on this process. this is some of the information now in terms of the tariffs that have been filed by operators to ICASA. And this is the information that's received from July to December of 2017. And it shows that consumers that are buying large volumes of data benefit significantly from low in-bundle rates per megabyte. And this is mostly people that are on contract. So people that are on prepaid, they pay substantially higher than the people that are on contract in terms of data packages. And out-of-bundle rates are substantially higher than those in-bundle rates. And out-of-bundle rates per megabyte is 50% greater than the in-bundle rates per megabyte. And this is an issue that's actually been addressed by the regulator in the end-user subscriber charter regulations. So that there isn't this substantially higher out-of-bundle rate as compared to the in-bundle rate. And if you look at the at this graph on slide number 13, the in-bundle rate of Cell C is the highest, followed by Vodacom and MTN at 0.99, and then Telkom. Is the one with the least in terms of price at 29 rand. This graph actually talks to the previous slide.
29 rand.
This is a slide that we thought we should use for the purpose of this presentation. It's something that emanates from the Electronic Communications Amendment Bill. Stakeholder consultations that we had for 2 days last week on the draft bill, and it's coming from WAPA, and it shows the cost of data per gigabyte in South Africa is much higher than the countries that's been compared with, with the exception only of Zimbabwe. So South Africans, we pay much more than we people in Sudan. We pay much more than people sitting in residing in Malawi, in Ghana, in Nigeria, and Kenya, and so on, with the exception of Zimbabwe, as we said. And this is very, very high. The amount of price, the price that we pay per gigabyte of data, comparatively speaking. We also thought that we just bring in some information as it relates to international benchmarking. Recall that in terms of the international benchmarking, all these benchmarking exercises, they actually look at the key drivers. They look at issues of readiness, they look at issues of infrastructure availability, they look at affordability of ICT services, they look as well as the skills or the e-astuteness of citizens in terms of their ability to use ICTs. They also look at the usage. What is the level of ICT uptake and usage by individuals? What is the level of ICT and uptake by businesses as well as by government? And the impact, obviously, they look at the economic as well as the social impact. Now, the latest information that we have on the Global IT Report of 2016 that's now prepared by the World Economic or issued by the World Economic Forum, South Africa has moved up 10 places and is ranked 65 out of 139 countries. And in terms of the ITU, the ICT Development Index, South Africa, we ranked 88 out of 175 countries. And South Africa performs well in terms of policy and regulatory environment and business innovation, but we perform relatively poorly on issues of access, on issues of affordability, and issues of skills. We also took some of the recent research that was done by Research ICT Africa in terms of regional rankings now. South Africa, how do we fare as compared to other countries on the African continent? And in terms of this research, South Africa is currently ranked 13th out of 49 African countries. Egypt continues to charge a fraction, less than 33% of what the cheapest OECD basket costs in South Africa. And only two SADC countries perform better than South Africa in terms of this measure. Now, only Madagascar Madagascar as well as Mauritius perform better than South Africa when you look at again the prepaid basket prices in six large African countries, and this is the information of the research, the outcome of the research undertaken by Research ICT Africa. So as a concluding slide, in terms of trends now, voice is still dominant revenue driver. However, it's declining due to exponential growth in data. In terms of the ICT sector performance report of ICASA, it shows that there is a growth in data usage, especially mobile data traffic has increased exponentially, as well as revenue associated with that usage of data. However, the prices are not declining. In terms of the tariff filings by operators to ICASA, Vodacom data revenue increased by 17.9% and voice revenue declined by 2.9%. In terms of MTN, the data revenue has increased by 31.4%, and Cell C, the data revenue has increased by 35% and voice revenue has declined by 2%. Voice tariffs have decreased significantly since ICASA's intervention in the wholesale call termination market of 2010. And in terms of the previous slides that we've talked to, the market failures that have been identified through this process are still have still not changed in terms of that process, and that the glide path as identified previously will still stand insofar as ICASA's regulatory process is concerned. There's a growth in data usage, which is driven in the main by over-the-top services and content. There's also a smartphone and tablet penetration that is growing at the rate of 30% per annum, and the out-of-bundle rate per megabyte is still high relatively to in-bundle rate. So that's the summation of the sector performance and trends over time. This is information that is supplied to the department by ICASA.
Chairperson, that concludes the first part. I'm not sure whether we start with it or we'll go to the next presentation.
We'll go to the next presentation, but before that, let us welcome the minister, and if there's anything that minister wants to say in terms of the remarks. You came with a term when the train has just passed. Minister?
Things keep started. No, sorry, Chairperson, for coming slightly late.
What apology?
Yeah. No, I think it'd be better to make it when we're making discussions, maybe before we start the discussion. I think I'll be guided by you, but if you want me to make them now, I can try.
We can come after the second presentation. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Chulumo is going to present on the ICT SME Development Strategy Implementation Plan.
Thank you, DJ. Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson. The next presentation is on ICT SME Development Strategy, and as DJ has mentioned, we've just finalized the strategy, in fact, last year in November. So in the past 2 months, we've been trying to work on the implementation approach and also identifying those areas that we're going to prioritize, particularly for this coming financial year. Just to take you through the strategic objectives that you had actually identified in the strategy. You'd remember that we had actually specified three strategic objectives, the first one being mainly to transform the ICT industry through accelerating the development and growth of small enterprises, and then secondly, create support mechanism to increase the levels of uptake and usage of ICT services, mainly by all SMEs, that's SMEs across all various sectors of the economy. And then thirdly, we wanted to establish a coordinated and integrated planning mechanism for the development of ICT SMEs. So these are the three key strategic objectives that we had agreed on in the strategy last year. So in terms of the implementation approach, the department has adopted an ICT sector-wide integrated planning, integrated implementation, as well as reporting approach. Largely because, you know, first of all, this is a national ICT SME development strategy, but we've also realized that there's a need to involve all key stakeholders that are relevant and that are currently involved in delivering on enterprise development or other ICT development initiatives. So this will be a multi-stakeholder implementation approach, and we, you know, we had to also agree on this approach considering the current economic condition and limited resources inside the department and outside the department and the country at large. So this, our strategy will be implemented within a period of 3 years. We're starting, as I said, in the next coming financial year until 2020. So the next slide is real, it's just an illustration of what I've just mentioned in terms of the stakeholders that will be involved in implementing the strategy. We will have those priorities or those targets that are led by the department. We'll elaborate on it. But part of the strategy will be developed with our own SOCs, with other government departments and SOCs reporting to those departments, as well as with other stakeholders such as private sector, academia, as well as provinces and municipalities. We've also decided to share the model to underpin the implementation of the strategy, which focuses largely on four critical areas. The first one being capacity building. Here the focus is really on promoting entrepreneurship competency with a special focus on promoting digitalization through skilling, reskilling and upskilling. SMEs, as you'd remember, we have different categories of SMEs, those that are that belong to the startup category, the micro, the small and the medium category. So there will be different interventions for the development of different of SMEs across all various categories. We'll also focus on cloud computing, on e-commerce, software development and so forth. The second area, critical area, is around the transformation of the ICT sector, particularly in regard to the infrastructure-related component of the broadband market, as well as the services. And here, the department will be creating an enabling environment to accelerate growth and entry of SMEs in the ICT sector. The third area, which is also quite critical, is access to funding. And here, we will be focusing mainly on leveraging funding provided by DFIs. And then the fourth one, access to market and expansion. And here, we aim to focus mainly on facilitating access to new market opportunities through international relations and trade platforms, and we've already started with few initiatives around that. So this will be the four critical areas that underpins a model of implementing the strategy. We also thought to share those interventions that will be led by the department and those that we prioritize for the coming 3 years. You'd notice that in the next coming financial year 18-19, here we'll be focusing mainly on facilitating the establishment of 30 black ISPs, and all the NHI sites. The NHI sites, with no, are linked to the sites where broadband will be rolled out. The second one, we'll be focusing on supporting the participation of ICT SMEs in the ITU, World Telecoms and BRICS Summit. You remember that South Africa will be hosting these two events, so we thought to leverage on these events and ensure that we support our SMEs so that they can actively participate in these two events. And then the third one, we will be developing an annual integrated ICT SME development sector report. I did mention the need for us to establish a coordinated and integrated mechanism in delivering ICT SME initiatives. So this requires of us to engage with all various stakeholders that I've mentioned previously and coordinate and also map out areas of possible collaboration and ensure that we all deliver collectively on SME development. So from there, we'll then generate an annual integrated ICT SME report that reflects all those initiatives and all the work that we will be doing through collaboration and partnership with other stakeholders. Year 1920, we'll continue with the two program of the ISPs and the annual integrated report, but we'll also look at or rather focus on promoting entrepreneurship competencies. And as I've mentioned, there are certain training areas that we've identified where intervention is currently required, and we'll continue as such with the third year. So in terms of further elaborating on three key APP targets, the first one, as I've mentioned, establishment of 30 ISPs. Now, why 30 black ISPs? We've looked at the market of internet service provision, and as I've said, particularly with regard to the ISPs. In South Africa, we currently have about 400 ISPs. We have 100 international ISPs, but we have 400 local ISPs. And of the 400 that we have, 7%, only 7% of those ISPs are actually are black ISPs. And most of these ISPs, in fact, about half of these ISPs are actually located in Western Cape Province. About 150 of these ISPs are located in Johannesburg, Gauteng Province. And only about 50 or 43 of these are located in KZN. So these are really still highly concentrated in metros. So there is a need for us to have at least provincial, if not, provincial representation of these ISPs. I mean, you take a province like Limpopo, it only has three ISPs. You take a province like Northern Cape, it only has one ISP. So we want to address the imbalance in that in terms of empowering SMEs and the startups, the youth, and developing them to train as ISPs and actually to deliver services as internet service providers. Secondly, I did mention that in terms of supporting SMEs to participate in ITU Telecoms and BREAK Summit, we will create a platform and empower SMEs through programs such as, enable them to exhibit their own products, create an enabling environment to promote business linkages, training, and so forth. And in terms of the last one, as I've mentioned, we've already commenced on engaging other stakeholders to try and understand what it is that they're doing in the SME development community. So we generate a report that speaks to that. We decided to also share a work plan on each APP target. The first one, as you would notice, we've mapped out quarterly targets what we will be doing in the rest of the financial year in four quarters. We've also mentioned the stakeholders that we will be involved. As I've mentioned, this will be delivered largely through partnerships and through collaboration, and we've identified their specific role, and we've also shared the resources that we currently have available, or that we require for this intervention. The second slide is on the second APP, also outlining the work plan that we have in place in terms of the stakeholders involved, in terms of the resources, both financial and human resources that we require. And then the third one is also the last target, APP target on implementation of the ICT, on the reports that we will be generating and the stakeholders that are involved. So moving on to strategic interventions, and I need to mention that I did indicate that we will have interventions that we lead as a department. Other interventions, we will actually implement them through collaboration. So the slide that I'm starting with under strategic interventions, these are mainly some of the interventions that we will implement through partnerships and collaboration. The first one is on the participation of SMEs in the WAN, the Wireless Open Access Network. Here you, let me remind the members that we've just finalized the process of public hearings on the Electronic Communications Act Amendment Bill, and that's basically a legislative framework that also maps out the potential participation of SMEs in the WAN. So as a department here, we'll try and facilitate initial discussion with potential financiers to enable SME participation in the WAN as soon as their developments that are made and in the process of establishing the WAN. In terms of enabling SME participation for effective regulation, here we will be engaging with the CASA on the implementation plan to ensure that it takes into account the plan when revising the framework for universal service and obligation access, because we think that there is a need to intervene and to actually incorporate the need to develop SMEs in regard to universal service obligation. Moving on to the third target, establishment of cell phone repairs. Here we've identified two ways of doing it. You'd remember that with regard to the cell phone repair shops, we would have those devices that are currently in warranty, that refers to those that are currently on contract, for example. And we decided that we would need a separate, a different intervention for the in-warranty devices. So here we'll enter into MOUs with original equipment manufacturers to identify opportunities for SMEs in the device repairing
space. And here, you know, we thought we should intervene here because we have instances whereby, you know, when you take your phone to a dealership for repair, let's say it's HP, for example, it gets repaired by HP employees. So normally, you know, there is no instance where they identify where opportunities for SME development are identified. So we will be engaging with the OEMs in that regard. In terms of those that are out of warranty devices, here we've engaged MICT CETA to try and identify training for SME to certify them as certified technicians. So we will be delivering on this through partnerships. With regard to, we thought to also share the current work that the department is doing around cybersecurity, that as the department we've commissioned a research paper that focuses mainly on mapping the cybersecurity landscape, and we're hoping that this would actually assist us in informing the decision and the kind of interventions that are required to address cybersecurity in the country. On manufacturing and localization, here the department will be establishing partnerships with the OEMs again and operators to identify components and devices for local production. We also thought to share that so far we've spoken to Microsoft. It is indicated that it is currently built in two data centers, one in Cape Town and one in Johannesburg, to deliver on a range of cloud services. And we thought that this is a very good initiative as it will also assist on cutting down on international connectivity costs. We're also working with CSIR. They're developing what they refer to as a micro enterprise media engine, which is essentially a Microsoft enterprise media mall, or a media store that looks at creating content, particularly around the film sector. It aggregates content and distributes content. So it's a platform, they're creating a platform that aggregates and distributes content. Continuing on manufacturing and localization, here we've engaged Ekurhuleni Municipality and Department of Energy, particularly on the data center project, with the main objective of establishing a hub for data centers, because we currently don't have one in South Africa. And the main objective, of course, is to enhance measures to localize South African data. So far, Ekurhuleni has agreed to provide the necessary space for setting up of this facility. So we will continue our engagement with the Department of Energy, particularly to look at an energy pricing dispensation. With regard to DINEL, I'm just sharing, you know, some of the engagements that we've already had with some of the stakeholders that we've mentioned. With regard to DINEL, we're currently exploring opportunities and technologies that are customized for civilian use or for military use. And the aim is, of course, to identify how SMEs can actually play a role in that regard. We're also working with FTTH to look at opportunities for crowding private sector investment, particularly in the area of cloud computing and data warehousing. We've also spoken to Vodacom, and they've shared with us that they've advertised the request for information, the RFI, to determine the feasibility of for local manufacturing of devices with working with the OEMs. And the RFIs, we've been told that is currently being analyzed. Still continuing on manufacturing and localization. With DTI, we will engage DTI on incentives that are relevant to ICT sector, because you'd remember that at the moment DTI has got many incentives that are supporting SMEs in other various sectors of the economy, but we do not have the ICT specific incentives, particularly for SME development. So that's the current discussion that is going between us and DTI. I did mention that we host in ITU Telecoms 2018 and BRIC Summit. In here we will be creating, we will be supporting SMEs to actually participate in this too. Other strategic partnerships for supporting existing ICT SMEs, that we have an ongoing partnership with the Swedish Embassy. In fact, we had a meeting with them last week and this week, a follow-up meeting this week. They're currently supporting SMEs such as G-Culture and Ispani, particularly through enabling them to deliver ICT-related services. And I've listed the focus areas that they're currently looking at. One of the objectives for our continual engagement with them is to try and see if they cannot actually partner up with us to empower and develop more SMEs. On e-commerce, we've actually developed an e-mall application or e-commerce application that mainly facilitate online post-bank infrastructure. Maybe let me rather say that it's a mini Amazon. We do have a demo application that we've already developed. We're currently just engaging relevant stakeholders to see what additional input they can actually make to strengthening the current application that we've developed. But the plan is to work in close collaboration with SAPO and essentially use SAPO's logistic infrastructure as well as work with post-bank to facilitate the transactions for SMEs. But it's a market, it's a platform, it's an online platform to market and sell the product for SMEs. With regard to establishment of the tech labs in all provinces or the ICT labs, CETA is rolling out ICT labs in provinces. They've already commenced engagement with the Free State government. On procurement, here we continue to monitor the implementation of the minimum set aside of 30% for procurement of services to SMEs, particularly the provincial procurement provision. I've spoken to the need to create a central and integrated national database, establishment of the ICT incubation center. Here we talking to provinces. In fact, two provinces have written to us to request for our partnership to assist them in establishing ICT incubation centers. I think I need to mention that CETA has more than sort of 200 incubation centers, but of the 200, only 3 of these incubation centers are ICT incubation centers. So there is a need to actually assist provinces to establish through CETA, to establish more incubation centers, and that's another area that we're looking at. And in terms of advancing broad-based black economic empowerment targets, here we're working very closely with our own sector council to continuously monitor the implementation of ICT sector code for development of ICT SME. The council will be publishing the study that the survey that they had actually started undertaking this year, and on the top 100 transformation companies, and we're hoping to get that publication by end of March. In terms of creating awareness on existing ICT SME development private and public sector program, because that's also an intervention that came very clearly in terms of some inputs that we got, particularly from provinces. Here we're looking at hosting an ICT-related public Triple P conference on ICT development. You remember that we do have a generic one that is led by Department of Small Business Development. So there's a need for us to also engage our own ICT community or our own SME ICT community. On international competitiveness, I've spoken to two events that we hosted this year, but I wanted to also indicate that we are engaging ITU on two key things: on the need to establish a conformance lab in South Africa, and that's a lab that will ensure that locally produced ICT telecommunication products meet the international standards. Currently, we don't have such a lab in SA. So ITU, we're having discussions with ITU in regard to that, as well as the need to establish an SMME innovation fund. So that this will be the critical area that we will be pursuing with ITU. So in the next slide here, we thought to also, just to share, just to give you an illustration of the partnerships that I spoke of earlier on. So the first slide is on partnership with our own SOCs and different roles that they play. The second one continues with our SOCs. And then the third one is on partnership with other government departments and their portfolio organizations to support ICT SME initiatives. You'll notice here that we are doing some work with some government departments, and as well as the SOCs that are reporting to those government departments. I did mention that with CETA, for example, we will be, in terms of our plan or our targets to train SMEs on ISP, CETA will actually be incubating them for 6 months. The next slide is on a partnership with private sector companies to support ICT SMEs. we thought to just show some of the companies that we've already spoken, that we've already approached in regard to this potential or possible partnerships and the areas that we're engaging on. Academia as well. We are speaking to DST as well as University of Western Cape, as well as JCSE. In fact, JCSE assisted us with the critical input in terms of developing the strategy. Now, the last slide is on institutional mechanism for strategy implementation, because you still want to know how will the strategy be implemented. We do have a forum in place referred to as National ICT Forum that is currently chaired by Minister. It has three chambers that report to it. There's a social chamber, economic chamber, and governance and security chambers. And the chairperson of these three chambers, there's a meeting of the chairperson that is currently chaired by DG. It meets twice a year. Now, under the economic chamber, we do have a working group, which we call an ICT SME development working group that reports to the ICT economic chamber. So the work of the ICT strategy, ICT SME strategy, would largely be implemented through this platform, because this is a platform where most of the stakeholders that are identified actually participate in. And we are now feeding into the Interdepartmental Working Committee on SME and Cooperative Development, chaired by Department of Small Business Development. And that is chaired, that is a committee that sits on a quarterly basis. So this is how the structure of the implementation approach of the strategy would be implemented. So in conclusion, we see, as I said, our strategy would mainly be implemented through an ICT sector-wide approach, a multi-stakeholder approach, and there will be constant monitoring and evaluation of activities of the SME sector strategy. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, we have those two presentations. I think in the process of engaging, Minister will get the opportunity to add your remarks.
Just very briefly, for the members asked. Just first on the cost to communicate, I think the details are there. But from where we sit, the industry is still very concentrated. It's always been still concentrated, and there are still high barriers to entry. We're not going to make significant progress. But there are interventions made by some of the authorities, like ICASA and the Competition Commission. The only challenge is the turnaround of this thing. It's relatively slow compared to the demand by the public. But we are supporting them to come with this thing. One thing I didn't see in the presentation to you, sorry, I just remember now. One of the things which is very also hampered by this concentration of the market, and I'm happy they are all represented here, by the operators, is this subject roaming. We make a lot of calls to our neighbors, but the roaming costs are very high. And it is South Africa which is on the main staggering behind in resolution of that. But there are some attempts which are being made to lower the cost of roaming to the region. But we can roam like home. There will be no roaming cost at some stage. There was supposed to be a glide pipe of 3 years in 2015. It's not really moving at the pace which is required by the citizens of Southern. The termination rates, they are good for voice. maybe to some data, but maybe they were relevant before. I don't think their impact is going to be quite big in this era we're in at the moment. And that's why we issued those directives to focus on the broadband market, on the data market, and so on, instead of being very broad and focus on things which are already coming down, like the bus call. They're going to come down whether they like them or not. But the challenge is more in the data market, which is a main problem, which is facing South Africa. The next thing is that the Competition Commission, I also heard that they'll resolve one of the key things of this market dominance, the awarding of this transversal contract to all government departments at all spheres, which we have been engaging with the National Treasury, which have not resolved, because it just reinforces the dominance and the smaller ones, they don't have any play. If we as government reinforce that dominance, it's really problematic, because we're supposed to be facilitator of entrance of more and more and the competition. The the challenge, whether you look at all the slides, whether it's national or international comparison, is that this is a very funny market. It costs the poor more than it costs the rich. Maybe the legislative and the inquiries which are made will actually focus on that, because if it's more affordable to the rich than the poor, it doesn't serve the challenge we face as a country where we've got a lot of people who are still on the lower margins of the economy. On the SME development, one thing maybe we want just to stress, this regulation or requirement to pay SMEs within 30 days is one which remains beside the access to market challenges which have been applying. Is one thing which kills even those who have managed to crack into that market if we don't pay them in time, because they don't have much revenue to cushion them. Unlike the big ones, they can they've got different revenue streams which can cushion them. And so we'll also be looking at that. This payment is across government, aside from the government side. But we also hope that the industry will do the same. Because even the industry, they do use the SME, but they struggle in most instances to get this. The key thing which is a weakness is, of course, that is outlined, this thing of access and the skills. And we really hope that once this legislation, which has been consulted with the industry, they come here to Parliament, we hope that the honourable members will really assist us to make sure that some of the principles are being kept, to make sure that there's inclusivity, there's a lowering of barriers to entry. We'll continue to focus on each of the skills in partnership with our private sector. So I thought I should just give those, and we'll be happy. But the Deputy Minister may just want to add something on the second presentation if she wishes.
Thank you, Minister.
She is responsible for most of those.
I just noticed, Minister, as the team, as Tulu was making a presentation on the ICT SMM strategy, when the members frowned on the issue of, we are trying to make sure that through CETA we also establish CISEC cyber labs. And I saw the concern over the members. We're talking of tech labs. What we have decided to do is to say, let's coordinate the work that we are doing. In most cases, even through the CSI, what we do this intervention, we get out. There's no follow-up, there's no sustainability of the program. So we said in those provinces where we are saying we need to make sure that we open entry to the small businesses, we've got to take them from the innovative stage, whereby we say we identify the setups and therefore have that tech lab. It's a mini innovation hub, whereby they go as SMEs go, they showcase whatever they can do until their product grows, so that it can get into the market. That's what we're referring to, not just the cyber lab where we put computers or laptops or tablets and then we connect them with it. The other issue, the real concern for us on the e-commerce was the fact that everybody is going online. South Africans are still reluctant simply because they have concerns over the security of online activities. Others, they don't trust the website. Though the few that gets to participate. Now, but they're still reluctant a bit, but we find out that it's only those upmarket people, those that are financially fine or savvy. So what we're trying to do is to say reality is that the world is moving digitally. We do not have any opportunity of missing anything that might be in that space. That's why for us we said it starts with SAPO, it starts with other products. Let's also make sure that we have a South African created platform whereby all these SMMEs in the e-commerce space, they can say, okay, we looked into that. How best can we innovate so that it becomes greater than Alibaba and any other platforms are there? Therefore, enabling the same SMMEs to say, this is how we're going to market our events. We do not afford to pay rent for whatever upmarket places, but we want to have existence everywhere. Therefore, that platform seeks to enhance that work and encourage that people are out there. I will come back when the members speak our characters. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we should really congratulate the officials in the department who developed this platform on e-commerce. The real challenge we are facing at international level with this so-called digital revolution, others call it fourth industrial revolution, is that most of those countries which have got advanced e-platforms, whether it's China, US, and some countries in the EU, they are pushing for the international rules on e-commerce, where they want us to liberalize the e-commerce. Our fear is that as developing countries, until we are at some level of development and collaboration and development, it's going to be difficult to put this thing at a WTO and put as rules. Our position in South Africa is that let's allow for some development, and that's why really we would like to push this program to move a little bit faster, because we can be overtaken by international events if we seem to be stagnant in putting efforts in this so that we develop and become competitive. What we don't want, we don't want our BEE to be just used by Amazons and Alibabas to be the partners to market their products. We want our platforms and our products to be in those platforms so that we can also compete in that environment, that digital environment. So there is a very big push, particularly at the G20 level, to liberalize this e-commerce platform. And we really feel that we should prepare ourselves, prepare our SMMEs, prepare our platforms, so that we also can play an active role in that international market. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Members, let us engage.
Can I just ask if we do the questions first on the cost to communicate, and then when we finish with those, then go on to the SMME?
I think it will be more orderly, but we can do whatever, as long as to refer to the particular page that the person could be, you know, able to respond. But we can start with the first presentation, then come to the second one. Okay. Can we? Okay. In that order. Honorable Shin, Honorable Mackenzie, Honorable Killian.
Thank you. On the cost to communicate, I'm working on slide 15, where you talk about the cost of data. I was wondering if at all you looked at comparing not only the price, but the quality of the service, the reliability of the service, and the geographic spread of the costs of the use of data. It's all very well just to compare costs. But in some places, the quality is dreadful. So we actually need to know, you know, whether we're getting value for money as opposed to just the cheapest. Going backwards here. Yeah, I just want to clarity on the slide 9. We're talking about the phase 2 by the end of March. The ICASA released a discussion document with key recommendations. And then by June, we have the findings document. Now, in between that, you said there's going to be public discussions on the key recommendations. Are those key recommendations binding? Will they be, or will they be, is there a chance that they could be tossed out in the final report that they've come out in June? We talk about market failures, you know, and this is a thing that's been discussed frequently. I mean, I think it's really difficult. Okay, no one disagrees with the fact that there is unfortunate market domination by two big players. No one disputes that that has problems. But to say that there is a market failure, I think is up for dispute. Because, you know, if it hadn't been for those two, you wouldn't be having a cell phone industry. Obviously, there needs to have been better competition awareness, policing by ICASA, and that hasn't happened for various reasons. But I'm just, you know, we're trying to create this impression that the market has failed, and it actually hasn't. In the display on slide 12, we're talking about the Competition Commission's report to be released at the end of April. Now, when we had the cost to communicate hearings, I think about 18 months ago, and we produced a report, we made some very strong recommendations in that as to how steps could be taken to reduce the cost to communicate, one of which was to separate, or to regulate for the separation of the retail and wholesale divisions or operations of the major, of all the mobile operators. Is that being seriously considered? Is it being seriously researched? Because it worked in the fixed line area. One assumes that it would work in the mobile area. So I want to know if that is actually being looked at, because it would, I think, make a major difference to the costs. I'll leave it there.
Robert
McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair. Largely covered by Honourable Shin, and certainly agree on the market failure aspect. If we look at the, for example, if you look on page 13, I'm interested, Dr. Kuhn, for your comments on this. Telkom, for example, is, if you look up at the 0.04 on a 20 gigabyte bundle, is the lowest of any of the operators. It arguably Telkom has the least uptake amongst consumers, even the supposedly wealthy consumers that buy that kind of data, because MTN at 0.6, you know, if it was just about money or elasticity, you know, people would be flocking to Telkom, and Telkom would be the biggest service provider. The same argument holds true for Cell C. So clearly, price at that sort of level is not the driver of uptake of services. So what, in your opinion, continues the market dominance of companies like MTN and Vodacom, even though their offerings are that much more expensive? What do you attribute that to? And if you want to improve small operators, how are you going to deal with whatever they're doing that's right? Because clearly, somewhere over the last 20 years, their business model is such that they've been doing something right. Is it marketing? Is it rollout of services? Do you hear where I'm going with this? What are they doing that's right that other people are perhaps not getting right? Because I don't think it boils down to price. I'm covered by Honourable Shin. Just to build on the networks and the comparisons, I would imagine in just from our oversight that what I've learned with the companies was saying that in order to build networks, in order to roll out networks, you need access to high points, you know, where you can put your towers. You need access to land to put your towers. If you have a fairly small hilly or mountainous country, I would imagine it would be almost easier to have line of sight for towers and to roll out networks than if you have a very large flat topology with the occasional hill like Al Karoo in the Northern Cape, for example. So that's just to add on to that. Then in terms of our rankings, how are we performing historically? What does the trend look like? Are we improving or are we declining? And then also the Competition Commission, in their terms of reference. As I understand the Competition Commission, their first mandate is to look for elements of inclusion, somewhere where there's something sneaky going on by companies to artificially keep prices high, or meeting behind closed doors to discuss amongst themselves what they're going to do in terms of price fixing. But beyond that, what powers of enforcement does the Competition Commission have? And I would imagine that the ICASA is the one that can really make a difference when it comes to telecommunications, as opposed, I'm presupposing that the Competition Commission is not going to find that the price per gigabyte is being colluded on. But beyond that, how do you see their terms of reference? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I hear, well, some of my questions were covered, but I must say I do not agree with the notion that we have not had market failure. If we had a successful rollout by the market to all our areas, we would not have had significant gaps in access to quality voice and data services across the country. So we have to accept that. I mean, it's okay when you travel in metro areas, etc., then you don't see it. But when you travel to remote areas, there are still areas in the country that you have absolutely exceptionally poor service or very limited service. So we have to understand that, and it relates to the market. It relates to the number of people that the operators can sign up, and where it is not profitable, they would be unlikely to sign up, well, to extend services, and that is why we talk of market failure, and I don't think it has any negative connotation. It's just one of those realities. So I just want to say that from a point of departure. Secondly, the Minister briefly referred to ICT operators, etc., and the Competition Commission's inquiry. Can I just have a better understanding? Is it related to government services, or does it go beyond that? The Minister expressed his concern regarding the dominance that is being reinforced by government, but on the other hand, I find it difficult to understand how government would circumvent the Constitution, that in fact we have to ensure that economy of scale is beneficial to government, so that I think we must be very careful that we do not think that more money must be spent on the same services to reinforce the position of smaller operators. I think there are ways, and there are different scenarios that government must, in fact, implement to make sure that smaller operators are coming into the market, so that we can have bigger competition. I just wanted to say I just caution a little bit, because if I look at section 227, I think it's 227 of the Constitution, it is important that we always look at delivering value for money governance, and we cannot sidestep that issue. So just a word of caution as far as that is concerned. Then I must say what I find very difficult to understand is how the same operators who are prominent in South Africa can provide cheaper rates in other countries. I don't know how that is possible. If we think about the situation that there has been dominance, well, originally Telkom on fixed line, Telkom is a small operator when it comes to mobile. But if we look at the dominant operators, they've been around for the best part of about 24 to 25 years. And yes, they have partially improved and upgraded their networks, but in many respects they have fallen behind. Now, what I don't understand is why we are struggling with this excessive cost. I really don't. And if the Minister, Deputy Minister, could perhaps explain that, say, what are the reasons given? Because if I look at our position and we compare our cost of data now specifically with the rest of some of the countries in Africa, I think it is horrific. And the out-of-bundle data costs are, if I am permitted to say so, I think it's daylight robbery. I think the fact that this morning I read an article that there's a 200% increase when you are over using your data and you run out of bundle. So that is just not on. So Chairperson, I really am very worried about that. Then I agree with the Minister that it appears that the issue of roaming costs has been taken up by SADC as well. And what is the reason that we don't see any progress there? If there's any specific reason that could be provided. Lastly, Chairperson, covered.
Thank you, Chairperson.
The other questions relate to the SMME operation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I also have two questions to add on the questions that have been asked already. It's on slide 27, on the training of a cell phone repair shop. What would be the requirements for training? You know, we have young people who do not even complete, you know, high school, but they can manipulate the gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, when there's training, the requirement is math and science. We want to know, in this case, do you have the same requirement? And the centers for training, are they decentralized for, you know, many people to access them, especially young people in rural areas, for them to have access of these opportunities?
Can we call you?
And I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand. I've been asking, looking at the set. I'm sorry. Yeah?
Sorry,
Chair, but
you said on the first presentation. Now you ask on the second presentation.
You know,
we don't know whether we're in the first presentation.
Let's exercise listening skills.
Okay.
I said it will be more orderly if we go according to a sequence of a presentation. However, you can ask any question but refer to a specific slide to make it easier for the person who responds to go to that particular slide. Thank you.
You
can. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think the official will answer most of the questions, really. But I just want to touch the main emphasis on time. The issue of market failure versus market dominance. None of them are good. They are bad for society. That's a starting point for me. Market dominance doesn't advance socio-economic aspects of our society. Whether there's been a market failure, yes, we do believe. And maybe let's come to the reason. We'll come to the reason why we think there's been a market failure. The it's not that these who are dominant are genius of the market. They were protected by government. They were formed during the last years of apartheid, but they were actively supported by government. There were quite effective regulations which were imposed on those who were dominant, which was Telkom at that particular time. If those regulations were not effectively enforced, they were not going to survive in that market. So they are not geniuses of the market. They are a product of government intervention. What may be the problem now is the effectiveness of the regulations which are there now to deal with their dominance. Maybe the department will... I've interacted with all the stakeholders individually, personally. To them, they believe there is no need for more operators. They'll tell you straight in the face, they believe we should have two networks, two operators, owning individual networks. They don't believe in sharing. To me, that's a typical behavior of a monopolist who doesn't want any competition, doesn't want any new entrant who can challenge their effectiveness, their control. Yes. I think it partly answers what will be done in the last 25 years. I think the challenge we have identified in the white paper of the weakness of our sector regulator is also contributing to this. I don't believe our regulator is captured, but it's got certain weaknesses, really, which needs to be addressed, but also they must admit that they do have weaknesses. Because if you don't admit that you don't see that you've got weaknesses, then we won't be able to assist you to come out of that. Some of the things are the things we're saying they must come into legislation. Because if they are by negotiations, they are not just going to come. I'll put a simple example, the SADC thing. I think some of the members raised it. The SADC thing, the SADC took decisions. There is a SADC protocol. But in our constitutional dispensation, it's not like in Botswana, it's not like in Namibia, where they are rolling out these measures. It's not like in Zimbabwe. We must domesticate through legislation to give effect to this. I think that's one thing we are doing now through these amendments we are bringing here. I think it's the ICT amendment bill, ECA amendment bill, is trying to deal with those things so that we can put them. Because the argument they've been saying, the operators, what legislation are you going to force us to do this? We don't want it. But what legislation are we going to put? But it's only in the last year or 1.5 years they've been really coming into play. But we didn't have instruments. Whereas other countries did have their own domestic instruments to start the project rolling. But also it will depend on the harmonization of our SADC laws so that our principle of reciprocity is going to be very important in that. Why is Telkom with a cheaper rate not growing, attracting customers? You may ask the same question, why is Cell C, who dropped the rate, who didn't just have a cheaper rate, didn't attract the customers? Surely, where you have got a monopoly of the customers, what they do, they don't spend money in finding innovative ways to compete, they spend more money in advertising their products. That's why I start there in those contracts, including myself. Well, that is maybe just purely advertising and not responding to the real economies of the market. So it's again dominant. They are not pumping. Cell C dropped the rate, I think 23 years ago. The bigger one, which was a smaller one, The bigger ones didn't even respond. They spent more money on the advertising and capturing the market, which they already control. So that's what is the difficulty which we find. Yes, there may be other issues. The other issue we like to track and follow is who has got efficient networks. Because those who have got efficient networks, it means they are putting all practical means to make sure that they run these things efficiently and not just pass the cost to us for their inefficiency. It's none of these dominant ones. They are not efficient. They don't run any efficient networks. ICASA has done studies before. They published them. So it's an issue of dominance. It's an issue of monopolistic behavior. It's an issue of trying to close the market to the few, which in our view needs to be addressed by the agency. I thought I should just put those the issue of the constitution, yes, I think it was in relation to the competition commission of fair price of products. It is an important thing, but the constitution also got the issue of redress. So there is no right which is bigger than other one when it comes to those. So the constitution talks about historic redress, which is quite a key thing. The blacks in this country, they still don't have access to the economy. It's a major thing we need to address. The SMEs, they are still being kept to the margins. That's a major thing for the redress. So it's not about whether you've got what is called fair price. A monopolistic price is not a fair price. That's our starting point. But an efficient price in the market is a fair price. But not a monopolistic price. It's a bad thing for society. So I think those are the things we are really trying to deal with this massive market failure. It is a market failure because we have put all these regulations and licensing conditions that they must spread their services, the quality services, to all areas, not similar services, but quality services to all areas. It does not happen. Where I stay, I hardly get internet.
Morning power.
Maybe you can say we get internet maybe in the early hours of the morning while you are still sleeping. Maybe that will be my morning side where I stay. I don't stay in that morning side. I stay in that one which they just get it at 3 o'clock. By 4 o'clock it's gone. So those are the issues of geographic equity which we need to address. Like we said last year, there are quite interesting studies by the State SA on the since 2012 on the ICT. Yeah, it's called ICT something. Yes, thank you very much, madam. Yeah, they are very helpful, and we've just been asking them to try and do more frequently because it will tell you. The challenge with our national stats as they come from the inner, they talk of population coverage. They don't talk about geographic coverage. And when you draw down to those, they tell you what is happening in each municipality, in each ward, in each district. That's how they are so useful, so as you can see, this massive urbanization that we are not going to arrest until we're still dealing with those fundamental issues of making sure that people in all districts have got some equitable access to these services. So I really urge the members to continue to watch those because that's what they tell you, what's happening in your constituency in Morningside. Not all areas in Morningside. Good access, but some may have very good access. I thought I should just give that element to members that it is important to address this thing of dominance. It is important, whether you call it dominance or market failure, but it is. It is due to the market failure, because if we have had effective regulatory machinery, it's going to be important that we give adequate resources to the regulator. Because what we know now, when the regulator comes with any result, they get challenged. They take them to court, nullify them, and so on. If they are not in favor of their market dominance, they are taken to court, thrown into pieces, and the regulator doesn't have a meshing power when it comes to those things. So the issue of increasing the skills in the regulator, increasing the funding of the regulator, it is very, 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 very critical, particularly in this economic sector. The ICT sector. I thought I should just give those at this stage.
Just to add to what the Minister said in relation to the attitude and the behavior of the monopolist.
There's no monopoly.
All right, there's no monopoly. It's fine.
When the monopoly is one.
The oligopoly. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you. My apologies. All right. The one of the...
One of the behaviors
is the fact that you will see, hence the Minister is talking about the fact that the regulator will be challenged. Even if you look into the legal representation, the private sector versus government ones, because they're always on a retainer, the best brains in the industry are the ones that are on the retainers of the private sector. So when we come as government, anyway, when we come, we bring our own people, there are those ones that are clear, we can't take your case because already we are with this one. It tells you the level of attitude that is there, but most importantly, even when they go and argue in court, that's why they will forever give the regulators some challenges. When Minister refers to the capacitation of the regulator, it's not only just the human resource, but the funding, the adequate funding, so that we get the best brains internally also, so that we're able to achieve what we want to achieve. One of the other issues, again, that is related to that, the issue of the non-addressing or the non-meeting of the obligations for the operators. Within the regulations, we find that if you didn't meet this obligation, we just fine you 15% of your annual income. And what is that? So those are the things that we are saying, we've got to look into this, and let's identify the weaknesses and strengthen where we have to strengthen. What reality is that we have created an enabling environment for them to be where they are today, let alone that we are a victim of our success. What we did is, what we wanted to address certain things, even now we are saying, let people participate meaningfully and effectively in the economy of the country. And the only way to do that is for us again to create that enabling environment, whether it is nice, whether it is not nice, but something has to be done. But of course, we are taking into consideration the fact that we cannot kill the existing industry. They've played a great role in ensuring that our people are connected. We can't do away with them. They have to exist, but we've got to allow the new entrants in the space. Thank you.
The last one before the DG, I'd like to put this thing of this transversal contract. Our take first is illegal. That's what we wrote to National Treasury. We say this contract is illegal, is in breach of the CETA Act. Two, it doesn't meet the key requirements which is made for you to be procuring, for us as government to be procuring to you. Particularly the PE requirement. It was in breach of the PE requirement. That's why we wanted to be open. We can't force some countries to meet this requirement as government to do business with us and leave others just purely because they are paid. Three, we believe this contract is predatory. I know it because I use their contract. By the fifth day or day seven, I'm out of bundles. so I get your 200% increase. So it doesn't mean that you give an in-bundle contract, which is at your highest in the out-of-bundle contract, because we don't make any savings really. So I'm just trying to say the key elements we're saying we need to review. We're not saying they shouldn't continue with their project, but we must meet some of these key requirements. It must meet the CETA Act. You can't say because you want to reduce cost and ignore any other law of the Republic. So those are some of the things we think we need to engage with the National Treasury. Unfortunately, there was an attempt, but the problem is if I discuss with you as a state entity to make this procurement, and the first meeting where we are trying to deal with this, you bring the very same people we have procured to say you must come and display. That was the biggest snag, and that's why we are saying we hope in other inquiries the Competition Commission will look into it. But we are continuing to engage the National Treasury on this because we think that there was some erring on part of government in awarding that tender. It basically says government as a whole can't buy from any of these telecom service providers. We must go to one. And it is not clear what are the benefits except the price for the in-bundle thing. But it is predatory because it's bringing security issues which don't require. It is predatory because it's dealing the sets, because the sets you can buy anywhere. We believe we shouldn't get into contract to buy sets. If we want to get these SMEs, which we're going to discuss in the next phase, they produce the same thing of the same standard, same international compliance, but they are struggling with the entrance into this market. If we as government can't buy their devices, who's going to buy them? So those are some of the things we think we need to review this contract so that it serves South Africa better. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Minister. I will be very quick because I think a number of issues have been covered. But let me start with the issue of market failure, just in passing. There is this notion of too big to fail. The global financial crisis was caused by the same issue, that these banks are too big to fail. And now common literature in economic regulation suggests that we must move beyond too big to fail. Because we have seen in the wake of the global financial crisis that big companies can also fail. So that's what I would say in passing. Now, the other question is, can we sit here and expect Telkom with 3% of the market to drive down prices? Why are we not expecting competition between MTN and Vodacom? Because that's where we need to see the two companies slugging it out. You cannot say that a company with 3% of the market will reduce prices and the one with 50% of the market will follow. It does not work in real economics. That can happen. And we raised this issue last week in the presence of all the companies, that this reference to Telkom and Cell C reducing prices to drive everyone, we must move away from that. We must start talking about something else. 3% versus 50%. It does not work like that in real economics. Now, let me go to the questions raised by Honorable Shin, that whether we're comparing prices without comparing quality. In fact, there are other things that we're comparing, that the countries that we're comparing with, there are no roads to access the base stations in the mountains that are being referred to. There is no reliable electricity. In comparison to South Africa, South Africa is one of the cheapest electricity tariffs in Africa. There are issues around roads, financial services, and so forth. So when we look at those countries, we then argue that South Africa also has infrastructure that enables industry to invest, which you will not find in the other countries. So that those are the kind of things that we are also considering in this discussion. If you compare with South Sudan, you then say that in South Sudan, the electricity supply is not reliable, the roads are not there, the financial system is not functional, and so forth. So we do take into account a range of issues. On the recommendations from the regulator would always say, when they issue a discussion document, to say these are the kind of interventions that can be considered, so that everyone can respond to those proposals before finality, before there is finality. On the issue of account separation, in the current ECA amendment bill, we did not deal with the separation of companies. But in the ICT policy, we said, in fact, that when a vertical integrated operator is licensed, it has two licenses. It has the retail license, which you call the service license, and a network license. So in its reporting, it must reflect the separation between the two, because these are two separate licenses. But what has preoccupied us in the current amendment, one is infrastructure sharing. By its own admission, Chairperson, ICASA indicated to us at the hearings last week that the infrastructure sharing model that we have has not been successful. Has not been successful, and that explains why the department is proposing a new approach to infrastructure sharing. So that is one of our priorities, to say what effective instruments are we going to use to ensure that there is effective sharing of infrastructure by the different companies. And of course, we focus on the wireless open access network as one of the remedies to deal with supply side challenges. Now, a question is being raised, why are we not regulating crisis? In our engagement with the industry last week, we proposed that Vodacom and MTN in particular should give us by the end of this week a commitment that in carrying out the discussion that they had with the minister in May last year, the prices are going to come down should a portion of the spectrum be given to industry. This is very important, because most of the time industry will say, give us spectrum, we will lower the cost to communicate. Then 2 years down the line, they say, we can't do it, we're waiting for ICASA to regulate us. So they come to you and say, minister, give us a portion of the spectrum, we will lower the cost to communicate. Then some months down the line, minister goes back to them and say, where is the cost to communicate coming down? And then they say, no, but we're waiting for ICASA. It must regulate us to lower the cost of communicating. So the agreement that we're reaching with them now, which will still be submitted to the minister, is that from the word go, there must be commitment in numbers that says that in the implementation of the provision of the ICT policy white paper around spectrum issues, if we carry through what we discussed in May last year, then there must be clear commitments over a period of time on how the cost will come down. This commitment must be made this year, and they must do so even without ICASA having lifted a finger. Because the ICASA processes, as you know, in terms of Chapter 10, they take long. You must define the market, assess competition, and all those legal issues that go with that process. So we are expecting the two companies in particular to come back to us with their commitments on how the cost will come down, even without ICASA doing anything. Now, with respect to the Competition Commission issues, the minister has dealt with it, but it's safe to say that there are two issues that we're dealing with. The Competition Commission is looking at the entire market, so that is one aspect of it. The other aspect focuses on the tender issued by National Treasury that has gone to the biggest operator. Now let's take it as follows. If in our market where Vodacom has 50% of the market, and Vodacom gets the whole of government contract to supply services, then we must be very clear, if that is good, then we must say that this other presentation on SMMEs, we must just shelve it. Because we can't say that the biggest operator must get the whole of government business, but at the same time we say we want to promote SMEs. Because government is the biggest single user of ICT services. And once government business is gone to one operator, then we can kiss goodbye to the other issues. Now, lastly, on the powers of the Competition Commission, it will depend on the mischief that they find. If they find in their own assessment that some of the bottlenecks are because of failure of regulation on our side, they will point to those things and say, we see that the problems that arise is because you are failing to regulate the sector effectively. On the other hand, if they find that there is collusion, of course they will have to deal with the cases of collusion. So we don't want to preempt them in terms of what will come out. But should it turn out that the recommendations focuses on our own failure, they will make recommendations. But if the recommendations are because of collusion and so forth, then they will have to institute remedies that they themselves can enforce. So, Chairperson, given a time, I think these are the main issues that we wanted to respond to, so that we can perhaps move to the other discussion.
Just to add on the last thing, my understanding, the mandate of the Competition Commission is not about just collusion. It deals with dominance. And it makes recommendations. One of you correctly said, in the fifth line, they did their own inquiry, they found that there was dominance, and that's why they came with the recommendations that there must be separation of the services and the network. Aspect of that company. So we said they must do it in terms of their mandate. So their mandate is not narrow when they are looking at it, but we don't want to, and we don't know whether they find anything negative or they say everything is fine. If they find this is fine, it's fine, we'll use other instruments. No, we've got other. The instrument is really regulation, legislation, if regulation is not effective. That's the only instrument we have. We can't tell companies, do this, do this, do this. The only power is to legislate or put a specific regulation in relation to legislation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we get to the second presentation, just one question on Competition Commission. The inquiry, what would be the cost implication? I'm not sure if I missed that. The cost for the inquiry.
Well, what has happened, Chairperson, is that the Competition Commission is going to largely fund this out of their budget. They've also been engaging with the national treasurer. But what's happening on our side, between ourselves and the Department of Economic Development, there is cooperation in terms of doing similar things and would then assist each other and share resources. So there's a pool that we're creating with the Department of Economic Development to ensure that these kind of issues are attended to. But the Competition Commission would like to fund this on their own.
Thank you very much. Members, can you come to the second presentation? Members of Study Group Ndongeni. Honorable Sheen, Honorable Killian, Honorable McKenzie.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I'm not quite sure which slide, but you're talking about the training of SMEs. Which criteria are you going to use to train these SMEs? And have you met with the Department of Higher Education in connection with the certificate for these trainings? Thanks, Chair.
Overshin, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is a very ambitious strategy for SME development. I mean, it's so ambitious, it can't possibly succeed with the resources that you have, I don't think. When one looks at two major interventions that happened, we had the set-top box manufacturing policy, and that failed. We have a look at how the disaster sites out at Mpumalanga gave a network infrastructure contract to someone. presumably to grow them, and that failed. You know, it was part of major corruption. I just think that you're being overreaching. I think you, to me, it seems that there's a lot of duplication between yourselves and the MISA, even on ICT development in outside perhaps the main rural area, I mean the main business centres or the main urban areas. And I just think it's over ambitious for what you're doing. I want to know, on slide 21 you talk about departments engaged with 50 stakeholders. Who are these stakeholders? Give me some sort of idea of what businesses they're in, how big they are, and what are going to be the terms of those partnerships? Is it going to be a share equity thing, or is it just an agreement to do business together? Then you talk about you want to facilitate 30 black-owned ISPs in all the NHI sites. Is there actually a market need for that? These guys have to earn a living. I mean, does the geographic location of an ISP actually matter? Because if you put to, I don't believe that there's enough business in some of these small NHI sites for some ISPs to survive. These might be sort of nice social policies to implement, but really, are the guys actually going to make a living out of it? Is there enough commercial need for them to be out there? Now we talk here about financial resources to manage all this. Are these new chief directors and directors going to be around for these projects? Because it seems that there's going to be an extra 4 million rand, I think, needed to finance these. Is this already in the budget? Are we going to be employing more people? What are these figures pertain to? Then we're talking about here, slide 31, teaming up with the CSIR to grow infrastructure, to grow enterprises in the film and TV sector. Surely that's DOC, not us. And you know, why? Why are we actually, you know, so much of this stuff is being done in the private sector anyway. You know, NMISA initially started by training people to be in the broadcasting sector. You know, and they didn't really find a niche for themselves in that market either. Then another on slide 32, talking about working with the fiber to the home. It's now they call fiber to the X. Fiber to the X. Okay. What is meant by crowding? Going to partner them on crowding the private sector. Is that crowdfunding? What is crowding? I don't understand that term in that context. Then 37, I think it is slide 37, on the international competitiveness, the SME Innovation Fund. How's that going? Where's that money coming from? Who's going to fund that innovation fund? Thank you.
Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would like to say it is a good what needs to be done report to us. I think it's good. It's good that there was some clear thinking in it. But I am concerned about the how part, the practical implementation of that. We see here it's a broad strategy. I am also a little concerned that we should not be over-ambitious, because it's better to have two or three goals that are achievable and to achieve them and to report on those achievements rather than to have 20 goals and to achieve two. And that is always part of the problem of our entities and our departments. So I must say, for instance, I see here our database at SMFE portal, but I see the dates on slide 24, DTPS to finalize the creation of ICT SMFE database in 2017-2018. Has that been completed? Because the financial year is just about completed now. Is that in place? Secondly, I'm concerned there should be, the department should have the ability to identify some of the SMMEs that show promise, that have already started up, and to just give them additional support and training and train them in, you know, in sort of entrepreneurial skills, etc., rather than starting with unemployed youth. I'm concerned, Chairperson, because then we're doing what the CETAs are doing, and the CETA, you know, reporting to the Department of Higher Education and Training, they're also looking at that, but it is very superficial. It's not in-depth training, so that you can really train people and set them free to get into, to get to terms with business operations. So I just want to suggest that a lot of thinking has gone into this, I can see that, but I think there should be a clear sort of implementation plan to say it's going to be phased in over a period of 3 to 5 years. The first year, these will be the specific targets. And rather start at a point that you can achieve, you know, your database, because that is growing. And then, I can't remember if it was Honorable Ndogeni or Honorable Shen who mentioned the role and linking up with Department of Higher Education and Training, as well as probably, you know, high, you know, secondary schools, Department of Basic Education and Training. Somehow there's a gap that I feel we should fill. Again, coming back to vast sums of money that teachers have access to. You know, that is not raised in taxes. It is raised through the funds that is established. Can you not tap into those funds and to bring them on board so that everything can make sense? I find that very often our departments operate in silos and we don't touch base with the others to extend your reach and your impact. So it is a good intention, but I really want to make sure that we succeed, because this is the route to the future. You know, in higher education, we are impressing on all of those institutions to say, unless you tap into the digital economy, whatever you're training people in, whether it is in, through teachers, through colleges or universities, you don't link that to the digital economy. You're wasting your funding, your money. So what I'm saying is there not a need for a better link to those as well? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think I've already asked my question, although prematurely, about the requirements of training, and also if the centers are decentralized for many young people to access them, especially rural communities. The other one was on capacity, but I think members have alluded to that in terms of the department being ambitious in planning. Thank you.
Chairperson.
Sure. I'm
about to ask some questions. I did, and you recognized, but it's fine.
Excuse. I was just still thinking about this monopoly, what you wanted to say. Right, monopoly or whatever monopoly.
Chair, monopoly is one, duopoly is two, and oligopoly is many.
No, you're quick to explain yourself. I was just thinking when you say one monopoly, say white monopoly or something.
A white monopoly.
So I'm comfortable that you've explained it.
Don't know about that, Chair.
Oligopoly is not many, few.
Yeah, but a few, but the many of a few. It's more than two. More than two. It's a few. You're right, Chair. You're right.
Okay.
You know, on this notion of white monopoly, we must dispute this. My grandmother was a domestic worker. My grandfather was a shoemaker. My father was one of his seven brothers. Just so we know this, but this white monopoly, I don't know where that comes from.
I wish somebody can point me in that direction. I'm some of it myself. And he's rich R1 million a year or R2 million a year? You are rich. I'm only...
Thank you, Chair. You know, Chair, there's the youth, the revolutionary youth all over the world use the slogan, no decisions about us without us. In this strategy of ICT SME development, I can't see where the discussions have happened with the people that we're trying to empower, and I would like to see more of that. When we come with a strategy like this, I would also like to see examples. So this is Company X. They have produced this product, which I have here in my hand for you. This is what it costs to produce. This is how we want to bring it to market. These are our obstacles to get it there. That's what I would like to see as a member of Parliament, because it helps explain it to me. What I look at, and with respect, somebody said the best brains are in the private sector. You can see there are brains here in government too, to produce a document like this, because it looks like a thesis. You know, this, and I know Mr. McConaughey has plenty of grey matter up there that he applies. So with respect, I think within government we have some really good people that produce a document like this. But I see lots of terms and lots of words that I've seen before in other documents. When I was a councillor in Johannesburg, we talked about empowering small business. I was on economic development. And a lot of these terms were used in the same way. So when you come with a strategy, what I want to see from a strategy is, yes, here are our objectives. This is what we intend, and I'm echoing Honourable Killian. Here's what we intend to do with this program. This is how we are going to do it. This is what it will cost to implement this program. And by this date, we will have achieved these milestones. That's what I want to see from a strategy. So, you know, yes, so while the ideas are here, there's not much else that sort of gives it life to me, that makes it seem like something I can really say, wow, this is exciting. I think there are many, duplications within government. Credit to Honourable Shin for raising Department of Small Business Development. You would think that they would be actively involved in this more than us, and we would just point them in the right direction and say, this is what we need, these are the people that are involved. When we look at people like Mark Shuttleworth, a famous South African who now lives somewhere else, and Elon Musk, a famous South African who now lives somewhere else, why do they leave our country and go somewhere else? These innovators, these pioneers in the field, these world leaders in the field that they're in. Siobhulelo Khosa, I think, the rocket fuel guy, he's back, I believe, somewhere in these. What are we doing with people like that, our own people, to keep them here and to encourage them to blaze trails, which they've done. They've shown they have the potential to do this. When it comes to developing SMEs and it comes to developing small businesses, these are the people that we should be focusing on to create an enabling environment for them. There's no reference in this document that I can see to technoparks. And I believe there are several. There's one in Stellenbosch. I'm not counting the Western Cape. I live in Johannesburg. In 4 weeks, Minister, not more than 5 days.
4 ways.
It's the country just there by the dam. And I'm sure there's the innovation, the Riverside Innovation Hub that I've heard talk about. There was also the Soweto Empowerment Zone. Has anybody been to the Soweto Empowerment Zone? Have you taken a visit there? That incubation hub. What is happening in these hubs that we have in place already? Because I think that's where the interventions are required. And I was going to refer to budget allocations in this year's budget. Are there any allocations for this program? Can you point me in the direction of the line item? If there isn't, it's fine. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Tatabasi.
Thank you, Chakasi. In slide 31, there is a line there saying, so far Microsoft has plans to build hyperscale data centers in Cape Town and Johannesburg. I want to know when, and what about other cities, maybe like East London, Port Elizabeth? What are the plans?
Thank you very much. I think we have exhausted all the questions. Okay.
Jefferson, just coming back to the issue of making sure that small businesses participate in tender processes of government, that we expand their participation. Is there any specific training that will relate to how to tender? And will the department be sort of assisting them to determine at what pitch they are setting their standards? So is there any involvement for the Bureau of Standards, or what sort of standard authority are we going to incorporate? Because what we must do is we must really give them meaningful empowerment. Secondly, Chair, and I think what I saw here, the tech labs, it reminds me of the models that we saw, the model that we saw in Brazil, where they have a sort of a techno park area where the small sized businesses start entering. They have a sort of a practical sort of, can I say, oversight, as well as obviously training in the field. And then once they have been involved in a program for a period of 18 months to 24 months, then they can move out. So that is a sort of a lab, technical lab. Is that what you have in mind? Could we please understand the model? Because Brazil had extensive benefits that they saw from that. And I would like to know if that is what we are trying to duplicate in South Africa.
Thank you, Chair. I've just been reminded of one thing. Thanks for the second bite. On slide 30, you say out of warranty devices, sign an MOU with MITT CETA. I presume that's SETA, not SITA.
Oh, yeah.
Then you know, as I walk through the malls, you see there are three or four, you know, one small hole in the wall shops, and then like a little counter in the center, and they're all doing this, the repair of the screens, and you drop it off, you pick it up a couple of hours later. And the gentlemen that are running these little shops, they all look, and I'm not xenophobic, they all look like the guys that are running the spaza shops. You know what I'm saying? It's the same guys. So they obviously identified this opportunity, and they're running with it. So it's not new. It's something that's existing and established. So to create entrance into that sector, you're going to bring, for example, our unemployed black youth, you're going to train them up, but they're then going to come there and come face to face with exactly the same problems people are mentioning when it comes to trading in small businesses in our townships. Exactly the same problem. Who dominates that sector? And how are they able to achieve that dominance? So you've devoted almost a whole slide to cell phone repairs, but I'm saying that that market, if you want to look at a market that is saturated, that is crowded with people, it is there. So you're going to come up against a wall of problems. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. A very ambitious strategy. Yes, we do agree with you. It is ambitious, because we looked at the challenges that we're facing and therefore what needed to be done. We have, if you have gone through the presentation, made sure that we clarify what becomes our role as a department. Because most of the work that we'll be doing, we're doing with partnerships. From the training side, for example, you will find that on the ISP training, we're not going to be popping out money. We have an entity responsible for one of those as part of the Yamanis, which is Zedna, that will be assisting us on that. On certain other trainings, we've got NEMISA on board, and of course, yes, the MICT, FITA, the National Skills Fund, to come on board and assist us. And yes, honorable members, we are working with the Department of Small Business Development. If you go to page 26, that's where we've allocated, we've identified stakeholders with clear responsibilities that talk to this ambitious plan. This is what we want to achieve. Of course, we didn't put by when, we just put time frames. The training will be 6 months, the training will be with a year, but we did say in 2018 and 2019, subject to approval by this parliament, because the stakeholders are already on board, and then the recruitment, if there's a need for recruitment or screening. In relation to the terms of agreement with partners, we have a program that Minister Gole launched that's referred to as the Internet for All, where we gathered all industry players to say, come, play your part in ensuring that we connect the unconnected people that are out there. But as part of connecting those, let's make sure that they are skilled so that they can participate meaningfully in the value chain. That then said, Microsoft and other partners who know that they require certain services and skills, then they come and partner with us to say, we're going to train so many in these areas. Others, of course, based on their interest in terms of the location, which will explain why you have Joburg and Western Cape for now by Microsoft, because they also working on their plan. We just brought them on board to say, let's have a consolidated plan. Let's all know what is it that we want to do as the country, and therefore what becomes your role when it comes to that. Is there a need for the establishment of the black ISP? Yes, there is a need. One of the reasons that was given when the DG, not sure if it was DG or...
But rural ISP, not black.
Oh, by, okay, sorry about that.
The white people didn't need.
in all my villages, I don't have any of that. But okay, let me withdraw the black. In rural ISPs, yes, there is a need. Because as much as we are saying those that are there, they are not connected to some of them. There are those that are connected. And as a department, we have embarked on a rollout, which is in the 8 districts for now. But working with other sectors, they're connecting other areas. What becomes then the role of the ISPs? Those unemployed people there, that we are saying, let's train, let's capacitate them so that they can offer the service, including services to the rural municipalities. If you go to the Eastern Cape, for example, whatever that happens or that goes wrong in Nyanza municipality between Nyerere and Lebode, somebody has to drive all the way from East London to come and fix. Our emails are down. There's nothing, we can't move. People are here to apply for grants from social development or SASA. They can't do anything. People have to travel there. Hence, we said we have identified a gap because there is a need in those areas for people who are based there. As and when the end services are required, people will be able to respond to that. And then we said we can work on that. So there is a commercial need for that. Working with Zedna again on that space, we are saying we are concerned about the fact that only 10% of the population in South Africa has access to email addresses. And we are trying to make sure that, okay, email addresses and those that subscribe to the Z8 domain name authority. So we are trying to promote that, to say South Africans understand the fiscal economy of your email address. Why is it important for you? People complain there are no jobs. People complain we don't contribute. But at the same time, when we spend on gmail.com. Who has access to that funding when you register your domain name? Therefore, those are the issues that we say, let's raise awareness. Let's see how do we tap into changing the mindset of South Africans, but most importantly, making them see the need to even have these email addresses, because that's the way to communicate. We can't be sending SMSs all the time. Others don't even have access to that SMS or faxes and all that. What is the role of DTPS in the MIM platform, the one of the SIR, the TV or broadcasting platform? We are talking of a platform that is on a cellular phone, a feature phone, not just a smartphone. A platform that says, as a small film producer, wherever you are, you can be able now to broadcast your content without going to the cinema or being commissioned by SABC and MNET. This is what you can use for on your cell phone. It doesn't matter in which area you are, as long as you're in South Africa, irrespective of the signal, the quality of the signal. You're able to adjust your cell phone. And therefore, that requires people to have access to data. That's where we get involved. To say, as long as you're going to use a cell phone, as long as we still talk about the high cost to communicate, we've got to make sure that we partner with CSIR in ensuring that we drive more film producers to have a platform of sharing their stories with the rest of the world in that, as I said. We have not yet identified all SMMEs, but what we have done is to ensure that we go to the IDZs that are there. We've gone to Soweto, Honorable Mackenzie. Yes, he's been there. We've been doing programs there, including launching the Internet for All. There are initiatives that we've identified, but we had said, ours is not just to say, you are there, you are there, you are there. Let's first make sure that we have a database, because there are those that won't be able to reach out. that we don't know of. Let's create a database, let's call for everybody to come on board, but on top of that, to make sure that, because there are people who are registered, but you find out that when it comes to provision of the service, it's not quality or it's not worth what we need. So to do that, to make sure that we go to the Devonport, the East London IDs, amongst others, we are working with the Department of Economic Development, we are working with DTI, we are working with Small Business Development and Science and Technology to say how do we then work together, including higher education and training when it comes to those. The model for the Tech Lab, Honorable Killian, yes, it looks like that. We fund them at a high school level. Those that we say we want to invest, we identify those that perform so well in math and science. And one of the things that we've identified, not everybody who is an innovator has to study math and science. It has been proven. Software developers, others, were not even scientists. They're not mathematicians. It has been proven. Hence, we are saying we're reaching out to all partners to say, how do we then make sure that we embark on it? For as long as you have an idea and an interest in building on that idea, then we put you in that hub. Show us this that you are saying that you want to see happening. And then how do we work together to make sure that you achieve what you want to achieve, that helps us to achieve our own goals. Because we do not want just to empower people that will not contribute positively towards what we want to achieve. Making South Africa one of the global players in the ICT industry is a crucial driver behind those. I will then let the DG and the team respond to others. Minister will come in later.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Just on my side, why an ambitious plan? Our understanding is that we are responding to agency with a U, that the nature of the digital industrial revolution necessitates that we must move with speed. We have no choice. I sat with the team before we went to the minister and the DM to say, can we cut, what can we chop, what can we remove? And it's not always possible when you're faced with this kind of agency. Let's take the issue of infrastructure, for example. Vodacom and MTN spend 20 billion rand per annum on infrastructure. How much remains in South Africa of that money? It's a debate for another day. So we have to respond to those challenges. Because industry, for example, can say we're investing 20 billion, only to find that more than 60% of that have to go to other countries I can't mention. So we have to grapple with very difficult issues. That's why the ambitious nature of this. Now, on the issue of whether the small ISPs will survive, let's see it this way. This is the first phase. The margins may be low when you're talking about internet in those areas. But the way we see it is that when we talk about Internet of Things, these same ISPs are the ones who will graduate to provide innovations that relate to the Internet of Things. So we have to start somewhere. We build these companies in those areas, but the big game lies in the role that they are going to play when we move to the Internet of Things. So we have a vision in terms of what we want to do with these SMMEs. On the issue of the Chief Director is here, the one who presented on the same. So we're talking about capacity that's already within the department, and as we restructure the department, we'll also see if we can allocate more resources to this particular area. DM has explained that the issue of CSIR, which they've completed that product, is over the top, which is telecommunications, broadcasting, depending on where you come from. So what we're trying to do is that when you go on social networks, there is a lot of exciting content by young South Africans, but they're doing that for free. You know, they just take very nice, exciting videos and put them on Facebook and Twitter for free. Now what we have to do is to create a platform so that they can now develop their own content and put it on this platform for commercial purposes. So we want to create a new content industry for young people by enabling them through a government-created platform. On the question around crowding private sector, the word crowding perhaps may be confusing, but the issue here is about enabling the private sector to roll out infrastructure. The minister has asked us to move with speed on rapid deployment of infrastructure because the biggest money is not with government, but it's with the private sector. So we are looking at the kind of incentives, working with local government and the Department of Environmental Affairs. How can we make it easy for the private sector to put more investment in the economy? So crowding means enabling. The SMME Innovation Fund is something that we're discussing with the ITU. And we're asking the ITU that part of the proceeds that will result from the ITU event can be given to local SMMEs. So we want to build this on the basis of that engagement with the ITU. The way we have dealt with this strategy, we have taken the key drivers, the main issues, into the APP. So that when we come back here to discuss the APP, then we also deal with the kind of issues in terms of detail now, time frames, what is being done by who, and all those kind of things. So this will find expression on the in the APP that we have submitted with you. Now, lastly, on my side, on the issue of phone repairs, this is how it works. When you take your contract phone to Vodacom, they don't repair it as Vodacom. They take it back to the OEM, the original equipment manufacturer. Now, that is what we're grappling with, because initially we thought that we were dealing only with the mobile operators, which can play a very big role, by the way, in this area. But it turns out that we have to bring on board the original equipment manufacturers, so that the kind of training that we introduce should also be supported by the OEMs. It must meet their requirements for them to agree to take phones to SMEs. Then the SMEs will have to meet a certain requirement. I'll then ask a colleagues to Tulu in particular, and then the chairperson of the BBB Council will then wrap up from his side.
Just to make additional inputs on the commercial need, whether there is market demand in all the NHS sites. I think let me first start by saying that there is a growing demand for internet connectivity. I mean, that's what we experience on a daily basis. But apart from that, we are taking broadband to this NHS site, which is, and that's the main reason why we decided then to leverage on the broadband connectivity in all the NHS sites, because we didn't only want to take broadband infrastructure, but we also wanted to, to look at all different elements, broadband elements, including content development, including the devices, including broadband services that we could actually deliver in those NHS sites. So with broadband connectivity, there will be a need for internet connectivity. There will be a need for local internet service provider to actually operate in those NHS sites, to provide websites, to provide hosting services, and so forth. So there is definitely a need, a commercial need in those markets. I also wanted to respond to the cell phone repair shops in townships. I think there was a question to say, why in townships? We have an instances whereby people that are currently living in deep rural areas, every time they encounter a challenge with a cell phone, if they need their cell phone to be repaired, they actually have to take transport. In other instances, some of them will take more than one taxi to try and reach the facility that will assist them to repair their cell phone. So that's another area where we decided to intervene, to say we need to, in an effort to grow the township economy, we need to then establish these facilities where the demand is currently needed. Hence, we decided to take, or rather to roll out the cell phone repair shops in those rural areas. You'd notice that in terms of a high-level strategy, rolling out the cell phone repair shop is not going to be an immediate thing, but we decided on skilling them, on capacitating them with skills on how to repair cell phones. Hence, we're talking about the partnership with MICT CETA, and yes, we will be engaged in Department of Higher Education and Basic Education, to, and of course, NEMISA, to ensure that we roll out a maximum impact in terms of training the ICT, the SMEs to operate as cell phone repairers. So I think, yes, that's about it. Most of the issues have been attended to. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable DG, Minister and Deputy Minister, Honourable Members. I just want to say that on the CETA side, I know that we do have also engagements with the Portfolio Committee where we come back and report. So we will be able to elaborate on how the tax lists are handled on the CETA side. I don't believe that this would be the right way to do it today. But we're coming back, and also more information on SA Connect, because we are in partnership with the department on rolling out as they collect. So I would say that I would leave that discussion for the next time, and I do promise to be here if I do get enough notice. Thank you.
I think, Chair, Honourable Chair, I think one of the questions that was asked was around issues of tendering and what sort of support is going to be provided by SOCs in that regard. I think the strategy itself has identified that one of the critical success factors for SMMEs is to have an anchor client. So Broadband Infraco, Centec, and CETA, especially these three, are going to have supplier awareness campaigns, supplier awareness information sessions, where they're going to help the companies, the SMMEs, black-owned SMMEs that are actually wanting to do business with the state-owned companies, to help them in terms of training, in terms of compliance issues and other regulatory and specifications, for instance, standards. You know, sometimes there's a requirement that they must register with engineering council, for instance. They must help them, and they'll be hand-holding them to actually be able to meet the requirements. Otherwise, they won't be able to do business with the state-owned company. So they're embarking on a program to make sure that the SMMEs are actually capacitated to do business with the state-owned companies. CETA, for instance, is setting aside all the contracts for 15 million rand and below will be earmarked for SMMEs. Any contracts, for instance, of 50 million and above, where they are going to be awarded to OEMs, they are requiring them to subcontract to SMMEs. But in order for that to happen, there are certain compliance issues and regulatory issues that they need to actually comply with, and they will be assisting them in that regard. So we thought maybe we just deal with the issues of tendering and business opportunities in SOCs.
Chair, just very quickly, on the issue of consultation with stakeholders on the issue of on this issue, we have used various platforms for doing this. In May last year, on the sidelines of the World Economic Forum, what we did, we convened a session, which was a twinning session between the established players and SMMEs. It was very interesting that SMMEs then presented some of their innovations in the presence of the big companies. And as far as one can recall, there were commitments that were following on by the big companies saying that they were going to take some of the products that were produced by the small companies. So that was one area of engagement. In developing the strategy itself, we went on a provincial roadshow. That is, we visited all the provinces, and most of the participants, particularly in this area, were young people who were there. And recently, in two trips that the minister undertook to some of the international forums, we have been taking SMMEs along. So what we have been trying to do is to also use the opportunity of the travel of the minister and the DM to take SMMEs along as part of the delegation, and have very clear programs of exposure and facilitate engagement between SMMEs and other SMMEs in other areas. So that is what we have been doing in practice. Lastly, there is the ICT chamber of the ICT forum, which is coming up very actively, you know, organizing itself very well to engage with this kind of issues, and we've been having regular engagements with them. There is another new organization that was formed recently called Progressive Blacks in ICTs. We are also engaging with that. It's mainly young people who have constituted themselves into this forum. Now, on the SMME Innovation Fund, as I was about to indicate earlier on, what we are doing, we are engaging the ITU. If we host the ITU event in South Africa, which is a very big telecommunications event. The question is, what will remain for South Africans? We are engaging the ITU to say that one of the proceeds of the event, particularly the exhibition, should remain in South Africa so that it can support SMMEs that are involved in innovation. So that matter is still being discussed with the ITU as part of our legacy project for hosting the event that they've asked us to host.
I think the point about these ISTs in the NHIF and SAIF has been mentioned. The only good thing about them is that they are able to adapt to that market and the cost structure to adapt to that market. But if you can start a business in PCGASN, it doesn't mean that once you are there, you will remain there. You can then grow to your business, national or even international. I think it's just to kickstart and give the services in that high demand market. There is a demand there. In that market. I think last year when we were doing some projects, I think it was Oatambo, we were quite impressed, much as there are problems, but the cost of their data which they were doing in their network, I think the USASA network, was much lower than what is in the market. So they tend to become more innovative and they need to be given that chance at a local level so that they can grow in the international market. The issue of data centers, I think, has been asked. We asked this question, why they are not expanding to other secondary towns. Clearly, they are willing, but they are the industry is willing. And that's where we can persuade our local leaders, particularly mayors, to make sure that they create conducive environment in terms of infrastructure. To run a data center, you need a lot of electricity and reliable electricity. So with the challenge which is happening in some of the municipalities, they won't attract those now. Yet, if they are there, they give so many benefits, exposure to our youth, exposure to local innovators, and even hosting. I was the lucky to be in one which we're launching in Johannesburg. In Midrand last year. It's quite a good, that's where even Microsoft are also hosting and they'll host other smaller SMEs in that. But we need to make sure that we have got the basic infrastructure. I mean, you need fiber to go to those small towns. You need reliable electricity to go to those small towns. Without those, you won't see these data centers. They remain in the metros where there's reliable infrastructure. But it can be done. It can be done. If, as an aspirant mayor, really, I'll really try and do that in my small village of Padding, Dumzuaban. Lastly, keeping innovators. I think it's a very important thing. But we don't develop innovators to be tied in South Africa. They must remain in South Africa, but they must grow global. What we're doing, working with the DTI, is to really have this traction on bringing innovation centers of major companies into South Africa, because that's where we expose our people, that's where the skills get developed, that's where the links with the university become more practical. And I think it is. There are quite a number of companies, not necessarily on the ICT, they are putting, but they are related. There are ICT sector, there are innovation centers in South Africa. I think one of them is General Electric. That center, although is dealing with General Electric, but it's got a lot of innovation elements which are related to this digital revolution. It's based there in Johannesburg next to you. Other companies, our own local companies, whether it's the Vodacom, they develop their own innovation centers here in South Africa. Whether it's Huawei, they are developing their innovation centers here in South Africa. So that's a strategy we think we should follow to make sure that we create these innovation centers. Because if you've got that pool of knowledge, if you go to other areas, these companies, very same companies we're operating here, their innovation center has become universities of ICT. That's what we should really aspire, that they can invest to such an extent that we become universities of ICT, where there'll be high-end innovation and production of products which are then registered. So I thought I should just build that. My sense is that all this SMME and BE, all our companies without fail, they are starting to show some commitment. Because I think we should acknowledge where they are really working in unison with them. All of them. I think the one example has been used, Vodacom. They have now made a commitment to help these SMEs to buy their locally manufactured product. It's a good thing. It is a good thing. I think we should encourage them. I think the regulator should facilitate that too, so that there are no other obstacles. So I thought I should just give that element in addition to our officials. Thank you very much.
I think the last one.
Thank you.
It
was just a follow-up.
Okay.
Thank you. On the film app that you've developed with Will, CSR has developed, I'm wanting to know if it has within it a facility to fast-track approval of the content through the Film and Publications Board before it goes live.
You get a sign, it's time up, now we need to close.
The honourable member must know very well, like I said, we enter into a space where they're using our data, and therefore the gadget that they're using, everything else that's related to content, there's art and culture, there's DOC that's involved with the responsible entities. So we're responding in terms of our own role into the product. Thank you so much.
The two members are very naughty. I think we're done with responses.
Thank you.
Okay. In the absence of any other question, let us thank the department for the presentation and the update on progress made. And we always, you know, raise a concern about the lack of support for SMMEs. And we know how much we try as the department, as government. There's always predators who are just waiting for opportunities that are meant for small business and just coerce them into, you know, fronting. Because sometimes they don't have collateral and that minimum capital, they find themselves, you know, being vulnerable. They don't have a trade. But we think with these plans that are here to support SMEs, will avoid it, but I don't know until when. It is always there. But I think we'll try to apply strategies to make sure that it comes, you know, we are reducing it. But the practice that has been there for ages and it doesn't look like we are winning the battle. And I'm not sure if from the department, is there any closing remarks? That's what I've done. Okay.
Very risky from what Honorable Chief.
Okay. Thank you very much. You can excuse the department and our guests and members of the committee will remain. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Except
oh.
for Adelaide. Do you have a copy of this?
Sorry,
can that present Adelaide? Yeah? All of
them. Okay, so you are. So you are?
Mamesa.
You are Mamesa, okay. And then the lady with the earrings, that is.
Chairperson of the board his first name, if you give the CEO his first name. I don't think